Today's shir is Masechta Yevamos Daf Kuf Yud Dalad. We will begin on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. Rav Yitzchak Babisna, Ichsele Maftechei de Beimedrasha. Rav Yitzchak Babisna lost the keys of the Beis HaMedrash. And we now begin to learn, Be'ezer Hashem, the sugya of Katan Eichel Nevelis. If a child is doing an Aveira, Bezdin Mitzuvim Lafrishai, do we have the obligation to stop him and prevent him from doing an Aveira? And as we will learn, the connection of this sugya to our Gemara is because, as we learned in the previous shir on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, the Gemara discussed a situation where Cheresh and Chereshes were married, and the question were they allowed to eat Truma. And as we discussed, the issue was, why shouldn't we allow them to eat the Truma? They're anyway not Mechuyah B'mitzvahs. Also, as we will learn later in our shir on Daf Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Beis, the Gemara attempts to prove an answer to this question from our Mishnah. And that's how we begin now learning the Sugya Be'ezer Hashem of Katan Eichel Nevelis Bezdin Mitzuvim Lafrishai. Davni Nezer explains that what is the fundamental question involved in this shaila if we do or do not prevent a katan from doing an aveira. He says there is no question that certainly a katan is not mechuy ba'einish. A katan does not receive a punishment for doing an aveira. The question that is on the Gemara's table, says the Avni Nezer, is what does that mean? Does that mean that the child doesn't get a punishment, but it does remain an Aveira, which is prohibited to do, and therefore we have to prevent him from doing an Aveira? Or is Pshat, the fact that we see that the Torah does not subject him to punishment, is a proof that it's not an Aveira for him to do these, to do what's normally considered an Aveira? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yitzchak Babisna lost the keys to the Beis Medrash, B'shus HaRabim B'Shabsa, and B'shus HaRabim on Shabbos, and he needed a way to get those keys to be able to open the Beis HaMedrash. Asul Kamei to Rebbe Das, they came to Rebbe Das, what should they do? Amalei, so he told them, Zil, the Baratali Vitalia, bring some young boys and girls, Vitali Hossam, and let them play there where the keys were lost. The Mashkechalu, when they will find those keys, Maiselahu, they will bring the keys back and you'll have them to be able to open the Beis Medrash. Almakasavar, it's obvious that Pedas holds, Katan Eichel Nevelis. If a Katan is doing an Aveira, Ein Bezdin Mitzumel Afrishai, Bezdin is not obligated to stop him from doing the Aveira, and therefore the child could carry the keys on Shabbos. The Meraimei Sada points out that why, when the Gemara wants to speak about the concept of allowing or disallowing a child to do an Aveira, does the Gemara specifically speak about the Aveira of Eichel Nevelis, eating non-kosher food? Says the Meraimei Sada that even though eating non-kosher food is such a serious Aveira, and therefore one could suggest that that Aveira certainly we're not allowed a katan to do, even if we're not obligated to prevent a katan from doing an Aveira, eating something non-kosher, certainly we have to prevent them, teaches us the Gemara, if we do not have to prevent a katan from doing Aveira, the Aveira of Nevela is no different than all other Aveiras. We will, however, Emet Hashem, learn later in our shir different shitas about that shaila. The Mefarshim ask, why did he have to bring both a young boy and a girl, two children? So one point that's made is that he specifically brought a girl along because girls are better at finding things than boys. And he specifically brought a pair of children. So the two answers I saw to that question. One answer is because perhaps they'll carry the keys together. And we know that the halacha is that Shnayim Shasua, if two people do a malach on Shabbos, it's not considered a malacha. Or another pshat that I saw is that, as we will learn in a few moments in our shir, the halacha is that if a child is doing something because his parent wants him to do it, katan oisa al das aviv is certainly prohibited. So that's why they specifically took two children, and they should only bring the keys in there as they're playing, and it will be much less obvious, and it will certainly not be a situation of oisa al das aviv. The Mefarshim also ask a very fundamental question. We know that the Torah, when it discusses melacha on Shabbos, it says, "L'sasuka melacha ato ubincha ubitcha avdach v'amoscha behemtecha." We're not allowed to allow one's children to do melacha. So the question is, given that we have that pasuk, how can we allow these children to carry on Shabbos? The answer given is that that pasuk only refers to a situation where the child is doing melacha on behalf of the parent, behalf of the gadol. That's what the Torah is referring to. However, if the child is just playing and carries the keys on his own, that's not considered melacha. And in fact, this is the basis for a shaila that Rabbi Kiv Eger discusses. In olden times, the shuls did not have sidurim like we have in our shuls, and people would bring their sidurim and chumashim to shul for Shabbos before Shabbos. And the question that was asked was if someone forgot to bring that the sidur chumash to shul before Shabbos, can he allow a child to bring it on Shabbos? And Rabbi Kiv Eger says that if the child is carrying it on his own, for his own benefit, for his own use, one may let him carry it on Shabbos to shul. And so, do the Paiskim say, whenever a child is doing something, but he's doing it for his own benefit, even if the adult will also have benefit, the halacha is that one could allow the child to do malacha. There is a question, what does that mean? That means, let's say the child is going to carry food on behalf of adults, and we'll give him a small piece of food if he wants. Does that really mean that he's carrying it for his own benefit? But the Paiskim then go on to discuss, the Meram Shik says this, and many other Paiskim make this point, that certainly we have to take into consideration the aspect of chinuch. And we have to recognize that by teaching a child that doing this is permissible, he may continue doing this even when he is adult. And even in that point, there is a nuance that the Pais can make. They want to say that if what the child is doing can be mutter under certain circumstances when he's an adult, for example, carrying, which could be mutter in a city where there's an Erev, we could be a little more lenient versus asking a child to do something which has no permissible way of being done by somebody who's mechuyev b'mitzvahs. Which of course leads us to the most fundamental shaila, and that is, our Gemara is discussing if the Beis Din has the obligation to prevent the child from doing an Aveira, or does not have the obligation to prevent the child from doing the Aveira. But the question is, what about the issue of chinuch? Don't we have an obligation to be mechanuch, the child, not to do Aveiras? So there are two fundamental approaches in the Rishonim on how to answer that question. The Rambam holds that there is a chiyuv chinuch, but the chiyuv chinuch, says the Rambam, only applies to the father, not to the Beis Din. So since the chiyuv chinuch applies only to the father, here we're talking about, do other people have that obligation, and therefore there's no issue. But according to the Rambam, although the chiyuv chinuch only applies to the father, the Rambam holds the chiyuv chinuch is both a mitzvah asay and mitzvah lois asay. The Rashba disagrees with the Rambam. He says the chiyuv chinuch is not limited to the father, it also applies to the Beis Din, But on the other hand, the Rajba says the chi of chinuch is only a mitzvah saseh. Mitzvah one must do. And as the Truma Sadeshin explains, because the point of chinuch is to teach a child what he should do when he becomes adult, and that applies more to mitzvah saseh than to mitzvah loy saseh. Here, we're discussing a mitzvah loy saseh, and therefore, the Gemara has no concern about the chinuch aspect of the issue. So, Amakasava, by allowing the child to carry these keys, obviously Rabbi Das held, Katan Oichel and Velis, Ein Bezdem Mitzuvim LaFrishoi, says the Gemara, Leiva Mesailei. In fact, let's try to prove that that's the halacha. Because the halacha is, Layoyma Adam Latinuk, a person should not tell a child, Havili Mateach, Havili Chaisim, bring me a key, bring me a seal on Shabbos. El Menichoi, but we can allow him toilish, we can allow him to pluck a plant from the field. Menichai Zarek, we allow him to throw. So again, don't we see from here, we can't expressly tell a child to do an Aveira, but we don't have to prevent them from doing an Aveira. And the Rajba points out that the Braisa begins about discussing the Malach of carrying. Havali Mafteach, Havali Chaisim. And then changes subjects to discuss toilish. Why does the Braisa change the Malacha? So says the Rajba, what the Braisa is trying to teach us is that the Malacha of carrying is somewhat a more lenient Malacha. Because we know that, for example, to be carrying in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, to be Chayiv, we only Chayiv if you carry Dalar Amis. So one could possibly think that carrying is different. That's why the Braisa says that when we tell the child to do malacha, it makes no difference. It's always asur. And if we're not telling the child, it's always mutter. But again, don't we have a proof from here that we don't have to stop a child from doing an aveira? Amar Abaya, toilish that we're referring to here is ba'atzer shenanakev. It's a non-perforated flower pot. So it's not really toilish deraisa. And that's why, since it's only a malacha derabbanan, we could be more lenient. And Zayrik was not in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but rather was the Carmelist Rabbonon. And again, that's why we could be more lenient. Toshma, so Gemara again tries to bring a proof. Ovi Kacham Shabbat Lichbois, if Ovi Kacham comes to extinguish a fire in a Jew's house on Shabbos, Ein Oymrim L'Kabei, we're not allowed to tell him to extinguish. There's an Isser of Mimsa Chavtz Chavada Bedover. We're not allowed to tell a Goy to do Malacha. However, we don't have to tell him not to extinguish it. We don't have the responsibility of making sure that a goy doesn't do malacha on Shabbos. Daruch Lener points out that this Bryce obviously is going according to Man the Omer, Rabbi Huda, who holds malacha she'en etzricha l'gufa, one is chayiv on Shabbos. For otherwise, there should be no problem anyway, extinguishing a fire is malacha she'en etzricha l'gufa. Continues the Braisa, Kotna Bolichbos, however, if a child comes to extinguish a fire, Oimrim Loi Altachaba, we expressly tell him don't extinguish the fire, Shishvivasoi Aleim, we have the obligation to keep him from doing Aveira. So don't we clearly see that we have the obligation of stopping a child from doing an Aveira? On Rabbi Yochanan, there is no proof from there, because there it's referring to a situation of Ba'oisal Das Oviv. So as Rashi explains here, since the child sees his father standing there and seeing that his father wants him to extinguish the fire, it's considered as if the father is expressly telling him to extinguish a fire. The other Rishonim that explain that Ois al Das Oviv is even if the father is not standing there. Since the child understands that this is what the father wants him to do, that the father wants him to extinguish the fire, that's already considered Ois al Das Aviv. Ask the Gemara if there's an issue that when it's understood that that's what the father wants, it's considered as if he told him to do it. So why don't we say the same concern by the Ovi Kachavim? The Kavasoga by the Kachavim, the Ois al Das Yisrael, when the guy is doing it, knowing that that's what the Jew wants him to do, Mishari, why do we let the guy extinguish the fire? Answers the Gemara, Ovi Kachavim adapted the Nafshi of it. When the Ovi Kachavim extinguishes the fire, he's not doing it, even if he knows and recognizes that that's what the Jew he wants him to do. He recognizes that the Jew is he's doing it for his own benefit because he knows he'll get a reward or pay for what he did. Toshma. The Braisa says, Ben Chaver, if there's a son of a chaver is a person who's makpid on Hilchus Tum of Tahara, Shiroga Leilach Eitzel Avi of Imay Amaretz, who goes to his maternal grandfather's Amaretz. And the Shem Tzaram Belocha makes an interesting point. Here we see that we could have somebody whose father is a chaver, a Talmud Chacham, and whose grandfather is an Amaretz. Points out the Shem Tzaram Belocha that although one should look for yichus in doing a shidduch, however, it's more important to get married. And therefore, if there's a chaver who finds a suitable shidduch, even though it means that he'll have a father-in-law who's an Amaretz, he should still get married to that woman. So this boy may go visit his grandfather, and Ein Chashim, we're not concerned, Shem Yechivilenu Dvarim Shenem Sukonim. He'll give him to eat fruit that were not properly taken off Trumas and Maestras. However, Motzah B'Yadei Peres, if we find in his son's hand fruit that he had when he came back from his grandfather, Ein Zakaklo. We don't have to be concerned that the fruits don't have Trumas and Maestras. And as the Aruch Haner points out, the Gemara's point is from the Sefer. Certainly we could allow the child to go there, because we don't have to stop being concerned about things that aren't real. But here we see the child with fruit that he got from his grandfather, the Amoritz's home. Shouldn't we be concerned that these fruits are not Musukonim? Why do we allow the child to continue eating those fruits? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, B'tmai Hikilu. We're more lenient because it's Demai. And as Tosfos explains, two explanations. Demai is only a Drabonon. And in fact, Tosfos says, if that's what the Gemara means, why does the Gemara say it's the Drabonon? So Tosfos says 2 points. One point is, because that's the terminology that the Gemara uses in many places in Shas, but Demai Hikilu. Another Tosfos says that, truthfully, Demai, there's a very serious concern, because Tevel, if the Trumas and Maestras weren't removed, this food is Tevel, which as we learned is a very serious Aveira. Maybe we should be Machmer, tells us the Gemara, but the Mai Hikilu, even though we have strong reasons to be Machmer, we have a rule, but the Mai Hikilu. And Rabbi Chanan explains that the difference between these two Terutzim of Tosfos is a very fundamental difference. According to the first pshat, Tos Demai is like all other takanas derabbanan. It's a suffix derabbanan, and Rabbanan made a gzera, but it remains a takana derabbanan. According to the second reasoning that Tosfos offers, says Rabbi Chanan, we see that Demai is more serious than all other averas, because it's tevel, and there's certainly a very serious concern. And Demai would be a more serious type of derabbanan than every other derabbanan. Says the Gemara, El Tam de Demai. So what do we see here? The reason they were makel, because it was only Demai. Havadai, and we knew for sure that the fruit was not taken off Trumas and Maestras. Boiler Suri, we would have to take off Trumas and Maestras from the food that the child is holding. Ask the Gemara of Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Bois Aldas Aviv, that the only time we have to prevent the child from doing an Aveira is when he's doing it at the express instruction or direction of his father. Otherwise, we don't have to stop him. So what is Rabbi Yochanan's position? Is Rabbi Yochanan's position that we do have to stop the child or not? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan Sukim Sapkele. Rabbi Yochanan indeed had a question. What is the halacha? Koi hoche matche. So we try to bring a proof from the story of the fire. So Rabbi Yochanan said, from there we can't have a proof, because that's considered a situation of Ois al Das Aviv. And when we came to this situation, and we have a proof that we don't have to stop the child from doing Aveira, Kol Hoche Matchi, say, here it's different, because it's Demai. Toshma, Ben Chaver Koyin, if there's a child of a Koyin, who's also a Chaver, Shiroga Leilach Eitzel Avi Imai, who goes to his maternal grandfather, who's a Koyin Amaretz, Ein Chashim, we're not concerned, Shem Yachilenu Truma Temeya, he may feed him Truma Temeya. Furthermore, Matz B'Yad the Paris, if we find fruits in this cotton's hand, in Zakaklo, we don't have to be concerned that this is Truma Temeya and stop him from eating it. So again, why? If there's a din of cotton oichel nevelus, a cotton doing an aveira, we have mitzuvim lafrishoy, we have to stop him. How do we allow him to eat this fruit? Again, answers the Gemara, it's betrumad rabbanon, and we could be more makel. What does trumad rabbanon mean? A number of examples given by Rishonim. Some Rishonim explain that it's truma that grew in an otzich and an okif and a non-perforated flower pot, so it's not really considered the what grew from Eretz Yisrael. Others explain that medaraisa, the chiv of truma, only applies to dogon, tirosh, for yitzar, and who are dealing with one of the other fruit or vegetable items. Toshma. So Gemara attempts to bring another proof. Yoinik tinek v'hoilich. A child can nurse me'avoides kechavim on behemoth me'ya from a non-Jewish woman or from a non-kosher animal. Ve'en choshin b'yoinik shekets. And we're not concerned as if he's eating something non-kosher. Furthermore, says the Braisa, v'lo yichilen and the veilus treifish katzer and mashim. We're not allowed to feed him the veilus treifish. However, mekulan yoinik from him, a child may nurse v'afil b'shabbos, even in Shabbos, or begadol osur. However, an older child may not. Abesholaymer nahagim hayinu shenayigim bebehemet tayir b'yontif. We used to nurse from a kosher animal on yontif. Ketanimik miyot. But what did the brayzer say? Ain't chayshim b'yonik shekets, that we see the child nursing from a non-kosher animal, we don't stop him. So we see that we don't have to stop a child from doing an aveira. Answers the Gemara, hasa mishum sakana. There is a question of sakanas nefashis. The child's life is in danger, and therefore we don't have to stop him. Ask the Gemara, ihachi galonami. If that's the situation, then why should an older child be different? Answers the Gemara, Godl by Umdana. An older child, we first have to evaluate the situation. Does he really need this or not? A younger child, we could know, needs it, and we don't have to go through an evaluation process. Ask the Gemara, Kotan Namila by Umdana. Why don't we need an evaluation by a child? Amar of Hunabred of Shua, Stam Kotan. A child always needs milk, and we don't have to even go through the evaluation. We can allow the child to drink the milk. And the Chazon Ish explains. He says, if our Braisa is referring to a sakana, so why didn't the Gemara say that if it's a sakana, we should allow him to eat nevelos or treifish katzim or mashim also? Says the Chazon Ish. We're dealing in a situation where there is other food available. So if there's other kosher food available, we certainly will not allow the child to eat nevelos treifos, shkatz and v'ramashim. However, when it comes to milk, even though there is other food available, milk is such a basic staple food item that a child must have, that therefore we allow him to drink this non-kosher milk, even though he may have other foods available. And again, it depends the age of a child. A younger child is where the Gemara says that is the din. In fact, the Maril Diskin discusses a shaila where there was a woman, a nursing mother, who had fed a child, but she still had excess milk. That the halach is that the woman may express her milk, but only for waste. The question was, the child, she still had a child, could she express the milk so she could have more milk to feed a child? So the Maril Diskin says, if we're dealing with a situation where there is a child who is eating normally and was just fed by her parent, and the parent has extra milk that only may be expressed to waste. However, when we're dealing with a child that has problems in nursing and only nurses a little at a time, and that milk is needed for the child's basic survival, then the mother could express milk even not to waste. The Rashba quotes Rabbeinu Chananel, who says that since our Gemara compares the nursing from Avodas Kechavim to the nursing from a Behemah Tameya, says the Rashba, from here we see that, in the name of the Rabbeinu Chananel, that it's usher to nurse from a non-milk from a non-Jewish woman. It's the same as milk from a non-kosher animal. The Rashba disagrees, and he says that the milk from a non-Jewish woman is not usher. He says, however, It's a midas chassidus. It's the proper thing not to allow one's child to nurse under such circumstances, because says the Rashba, the milk that a child nurses from the person he's nursing from has an influence on the development of that child. And since Klal Yisrael have the midas of Rachmanim, Beshanim, Rachmanim, Goymlei Chesodim, so you want Klal Yisrael's children to nurse from people who have these characteristics. The other Rishonim explain the reason we're concerned not to allow a child to nurse from Avodas Kechavim is because we're concerned that she eats non-kosher food, and that non-kosher food has an influence on the child's development. In fact, the Rama says that a nursing mother should be very careful with the diet she eats, because that's the food that a child is nourishing from and will have an influence if what he will be if it's Macholos Asuris. To the point that the Shach says that, let's say there's a mother who has to eat non-kosher food because of Sakonis Nefoshes, for health reasons. Says the Shach, she should not nurse her children, because when she nurses her children, that non-kosher food will influence the development of the child. And as the Vilna Gaon points out, we find this concept by Moshe Rabbeinu. When Basya Bas Paroi saved Moshe Rabbeinu, then she needed someone to nurse him. And when a Shemayim, Moshe Rabbeinu refused to nurse from any of the Mitzrius women, until ultimately he nursed from his mother Yocheved. Why was it that way? Because Moshe Rabbeinu, who was going to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we want his development had to be perfect, and if he would nurse from one who eats non-kosher food, that would affect his development. And as I once saw in a sefer, every mother, as she raises her child, she should raise her child to ultimately be a Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, when we raise our children, we have to be so careful in what they eat, because as we're learning now, Macholos Asuris has such a profound influence on their development. Abba Shalom, continues the Gemara, the Brisa says, Abba Shalom said, Nahagim hayinu shiyankim behematar biyantif. We used to suckle from a kosher animal in Yontif. Ask the Gemara, Id Hechadami, exactly what is the situation that the Brice is referring to? Idika Sakana, if there's a situation of Sakana, Afil B'Shabbos Nami, it should be permissible to nurse even on Shabbos. Vida Leka Sakana, Afil B'Yontif, also it should be Osir on Yontif. And the Rishonim discuss at great length what is the Malacha involved in nursing. Rashi says that's the Malacha of Mefarik. Others say that's the Malacha of Dosh. Even though in describing it as the Malacha of Dosh, the Rishonim Tosfos discuss Dosh is only applicable by Gedulei Karka, something that grows from the ground. An animal doesn't grow from the ground. So the Rishonim explain there are Rishitas that Dosh is not limited to something that grows from the ground. Another Rishonim explained that since the animal's nutrition comes from grass that grows from the ground, the animal is considered gedulei karka. Others say that's memachek, when you're nursing it smoothes out the udder of the animal. Others say it's boirer, because the animal is non-kosher and the milk is kosher. And others say it's geizitz, it's uprooting the milk from where it comes originally from the animal. So again, what is the circumstance that we allow nursing on Yontif from an animal and not on Shabbos? Like Tzricha, Diketzara, there is pain, but there is no real danger. Again, most Rishonim say that the child needs the milk, the person needs the milk, but he's not in Sakonas Nefoshes. Others say that the tsar here, other Rishonim explain, that the tsar here is the tsar of the animal. And tsar Baal Chaim is something that we're concerned about. The Kesavar, the Farak Lachiyahu, that this is a situation of not doing it in the normal fashion. Shabbos is a skila, Gozur Rabbonon. and they said it should not be done only under extenuating circumstances. Yontiv, which is only an Issalav, like Gozer Rabbanim. The Mefarshim point out that the Gemara could have given a different reason, that by Yontif there's a het of Eichel Nefesh, and Shabbos there is no het of Eichel Nefesh. Why didn't the Gemara give that teretz? So point out the Mefarshim, because not all Melachis are mutter in situations of Eichel Nefesh. And some of the Melachis that we describe, one is over in doing this, are Melachis that aren't mutter, even in circumstance of Eichel Nefesh. Tashma. The pasuk says, "Loisoichem kishekutzeim." One may not eat any of the shrotzim kishekutzeim. Loisechilim, lahazeg gedolim al ktanim. The adults have to make sure that the children don't eat shkotzim. My laugh, the amaluhu loisoichlu. That if an adult sees a child eating shekets, he has to stop him. So don't we have a clear proof that we have to prevent the child from doing an aveira? Says the Gemara, loy. What the pasuk means is, don't feed them something usher. That doesn't mean we have to stop it. Toshma, the pasuk says we're not allowed to eat dam. And as Mefarshim explained, the Torah speaks about the isser of eating dam so many times. Why does the pasuk have to mention it again? Lahazer gedoyel malaktanim. Again, my love, damrilu loy soichlu. We have to tell the child, don't eat dam. Loy, says the Gemara, what the pasuk means is loy lispulu biyadayim. We're not allowed to feed him dam. Toshma, emma v'amarta. The pasuk says emma v'amarta regarding the isser of kahanim to become tamei. Lahazeh gedoyel melaktanim. To kahanim have to make sure that the ktanim don't become tamei. And the mefarshim discuss, is this only the obligation of kohanim to prevent ketanim from coming tamei? Was it the obligation of everyone? Mefarshim explained that it's everyone's obligation to make sure that a kohen who's a katan doesn't become tamei. My laugh, damulu loy tatamu, that we see a child is becoming tamei, we have to stop him. Says the Gemara, loy. What the pasuk means is the loy latamu l'biyadayim, we're not allowed to make him or cause him to become tamei. So the Gemara asks, why do we need three psukim to teach us the same concept that we're not allowed to actively help a child do an aveira? Tzrichi. Diyeshmin shkotzim. If we only had the pasuk shkotzim, we would say that shkotzim are more severe mishum the isurim b'mashu. This shkotzim is in an isur mashu. We have here a machlokus Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says, as the Gemara says, Isurim b'mashu, even when one eats a mashu of a sheretz, that's considered that he was over the aver of eating shkotz. Taisa says that one is only over, even if you have less than a normal size, but it has to be a barrier, it has to be a whole sheketz. Otherwise, even by shkotzim, there is no isur by a mashu. The Taisa Sarosh says a third pshat. He distinguishes between one of the Shmoni Shrotzim, the eight Shrotzim that are mentioned in the Torah, the Dere Isser of the Mashu, and other Shrotzim where the Isser is larger, where the Isser has to be the normal Kazais. Avodam, by Dam, Dik Adik Revius, one is not over until you eat a Revius of Dam, a Maloi, maybe Dam should be different. And here too the Mefarshim discuss at great length. Here our Gemara is saying that the Isser Dam is a revius, and many places in Shas it says that the Isser Dam is a kezayis. So one teretz given is if the dam is liquid, then the shear is a revius. If the dam is in a solid form, if it congealed, the shear is kezayis. Another pshat that I saw is that if one is eating the dam in the way of eating, that means if somebody is dipping his bread into dam, there the shear is a kezayis. If one is just drinking dam, the shear is a revius. And Daruch Lener says a third pshat, a very big chiddush. Daruch Lener says what the Gemara means to say, that one is not over for eating dam unless he eats dam from a being that had a revius dam. But if there's a creature that has less than a revius dam, the dam that comes from that creature is not osur b'achila. V'yashmin adam mishum dike karis. I would say dam is more serious because there's a chiv karis. Av shrotzim, which is only a chiv malchus emaloi, that's why we have to have both these psukim. If we only had damn shkotzim, I would say the mishum di surin shav bekol. This is an issa for everyone. No one may eat dam. No one may eat shrotzim. Aval tuma emeloi. Tuma is certainly different. It only applies to kohanim, and therefore it should be different. V'yashmin tuma mishum deribam mitzvus yaseris. Tuma applies to kohanim, who are more serious than more mitzvahs by kohanim. Aval hani, the other things which don't necessarily only apply to kohanim, emeloi should be different. That's why tzricha, we have to have all three of these psukim. So here we clearly see that osur lispus b'yadayim, it's osur to feed a child something that's osur. There's a machloikus rishonim, is that an issa d'oraisa or is it an issa d'rabbanan? And furthermore, Machloikas Rambam and Rashba, is this, will this Isser of Lispus B'Yadayim, of feeding a child something that's Osir, is it also by something which is only Osir Midrabbonan? That's what the Rashba learns. The Rambam says it's only by something which is Osir Midoraisa. The Mefarshim ask, if we've now explained that something, that we're now allowed to ask or give a child to do an Aveira, ask them first, why does the Torah, as we quoted at the beginning of our shiur, expressly say regarding Shabbos, why is this different than any other circumstance? So Rachi Yezer explains that the reason the Torah had to single out Shabbos is because since we know by Shabbos the halacha is meleches machsheves asur Torah, the only thing that's asur is something that requires intent. A child is not able, doesn't really have machshava, so we think that the melacha of a child in Shabbos is not asur. That's why we need a special pasuk regarding Shabbos. The Reb Chaim Brisker answers differently. Reb Chaim Brisker says that what the pasuk is teaching us is that when a child of one, if somebody's child is mechal Shabbos, it's as if loisaska melacha ato. It's as if as the parent was mechal Shabbos. That's what the lesson the Torah is trying to teach us. So from here we see that we certainly may not allow a child to do an aveira. However, the Paiskim do point out, we're not allowed to lispus lo b'yadayim. The Paiskim do point out that in a situation where chinuch tells us to allow the child to do something which may be wrong, it's mutter. The example I saw given is as follows. Here our Gemara, the Shas HaTshuvas for Sheva Kain, explains this. Here our Gemara teaches us that a kain who's a cotton is not allowed to become tamei. So may one bring a kain who's a cotton to a levaya. He's not allowed to become tamei. It's a levaya of a close relative. And he doesn't have the mitzvah of Avelis. So perhaps he should not be allowed to go to that levaya. Point out the Paiskim that since when the child will grow up, there will be a chi of chinuch, will be obligated to be mechanuch the child, and he will have to do that mitzvah. The chi of chinuch supersedes the iser of lispus lo b'yadayim, and we may allow him to come to the levaya. Similarly, that's why the halacha is we allow a child to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. And la halacha, even if Rosh Hashanah comes on in Shabbos, a child may blow the shofar. Again, with the same consideration, because the chinuch aspect overrides the osur lispus lo b'yadayim aspect. However, again, as I said earlier, we always have to think about the chinuch aspects, and that's why the Mepaiskim point out that in a question where this will perhaps cause people to be lax in certain mitzvahs and averas, we have to be a lot stricter in what we allow a child to do or not to do. And also, I saw the Sharm Tzion Balacha points out that certainly when we're dealing with issues of ben odom lechaveroi, we have to be a lot more careful in what we allow and don't allow a child to do. We have to, because of the chinuch aspect. Tashma. So Gemara attempts to bring a proof to this question of do we have to stop a child from doing an avera or not from our Mishnah. The Mishnah, we just learned our Mishnah said, Shnei Achim, of the two brothers, Echad Bekeich Vecherish. One is Bekeich and one is a deaf mute. Nesun Shnei Achim Pichos, who are married to two competent sisters. Meis Cherish Bal Pikachas, and the Cherish who married the Pikachas passed away. Mayas Bekeich Bal Pikachas, Tetz Mishim Achos Ishi, he doesn't have to do Yibam, because this woman is his sister-in-law. Meis b'keich b'al b'kachas. If the b'keich who's married to b'kachas dies, mayas acheresh b'al b'kachas, mayas acheresh b'get, he can't remain with his wife, because the zika d'oraisa with his sister-in-law supersedes the kedusha d'rabbonon that he has with his wife. Acheresh could only have kedusha d'rabbonon. Ve'eshes ochev esur l'oilam. And he can marry his sister-in-law, because she was a sister-in-law, and he also can't do chalitza, because as we've learned, a cheresh can't do chalitza. Is the question, amai moitzis ish to beget, why do we make him divorce? V'nesagabe, why can't we let them remain together? Katan oichel nevelesu. We're not obligated to stop him from doing an averus. A cheresh is like a katan. Answers, the gemar m'shem sur dada. The concern is not the cheresh. The cheresh was not obligated in mitzvahs. The concern is that we can't let the pikachas remain with him because she's not allowed to, for her it's an aveira and she's a pikachas. Toshma, shnei achim pichin nesuin, shtei achyos achs pikachas v'achas chareshes. We have two competent brothers married, two sisters, one's a pikachas v'achas chareshes. Meis pikeach b'al chareshes. Mayas pikeach b'al kachas. Teitzma shemachos isha, it's a sister-in-law. Meis b'keich b'al b'kachas, mayas b'keich b'al chareshes. What does he do? As again, mitzvah ish to beget, his wife has to be divorced because she's only a kedusha d'rabbanon, given that she's a chareshes, and there's a zika d'raisa with a sister that's stronger. Ve'esh is ochi b'chalitza, and his sister-in-law gives chalitza. Ask the Gemara, v'may mitzvah ish to beget, what do you say after divorce his wife? His wife is a chareshes, teisv gabei, katan oichel nevelesi. Answers the Gemara, Mishum Tzur Dedei. The wife is not the concern is him, that he, who is a competent person, is not allowed to remain with his wife because of the Zika Daraisa that's preventing that. Amarava, one more proof. Tashma, Shnei Echim, Echet Cheresh Vechi Bekeach, Nesun Lishtei Echoyus, Achas Pekach Tzvaz Chereshes. Meis Cheresh Bal Chereshes, the Cheresh who's married to Chereshes passed away, Mayas Bekei Bal Pekachas, Tetz Mishum Echoyus Ishtei. His wife, the b'keir bal kachas doesn't do yibam because it's a chos ishtoi. Meis b'keir bal kachas mayas cheresh bal chereshes. Meitzis ishto beget. He has to divorce his wife because she's only kedusha d'rabbanan, which is weaker than the zika d'raisa. Ve'eshes ochav esur la'olam. His sister-in-law, he can't do yibam with chalitza. Chalitza because he's a cheresh. Yibam because it was a sister-in-law. Ask the Gemara for hocha. The lav esur d'doka. Here, in this couple, she's a chareshes. Vlavisur de deika. He's a cheresh. And yet, Tani sister, Moti sister, we make them divorce. Why? They're a cheresh chareshes. If we're not obligated to stopping somebody from doing a cheresh, a katan from doing an avera, why do we have to stop them? Amar of Shmaya, gzer mishmataras yivam l'shuk. True. The cheresh and cheresh may remain together. But if we allow them to remain together, the Yavama will believe that she can marry anyone else. That she has no obligation, she has no zika here. To avoid that mistake from happening, that's why we force the cheresh and chereshes to divorce. Hanul cheresh, hanul cheresh, hanul cheresh. As we have already learned earlier, normally, for any davar she'be'erva, two witnesses are required. However, Chazal were makel that if a woman or an eid echad can testify that her husband passed away, mishmiguna ikilu barabonim. And as we've learned earlier in the Masechta, Chazal built in safeguards into this, because if she doesn't carefully investigate and make sure that what she's saying is correct, daiku mitzvah, she has to be careful, because otherwise she will, if her husband comes back and she got remarried, she will be usher to marry both to remain with a second husband, and also she will be usher to go back to her first husband. And that's why Chazal Mishmiguna will make up. Our Mishnah Gemara will start describing under which circumstances this kula applies or not. A woman who went with her husband to Medina Siyam, and there's a time of shalom beino lebeino, v'shalom ba'olam, there's peace between this couple, and there's peace in the world, u'bava amra meisbali, and she comes and says, my husband passed away, to not say, based on her testimony, we allow her to get remarried. Meis Bali, simile, based on a testimony to Shabim. We even allow it to have Yibum with her brother-in-law. However, in a situation where there is Shalom Beino Lebeino, or Mechama Beilem, but there's war in the world, or Ketata Beino Lebeino, this couple is not living in harmony, even though there's Shalom Beino, or Basva Amr Meis Bali, she comes and said her husband died, ain't in a menace. Under this circumstance, she's not believed. Because since the situation is weak between the couple, or there's war in the world, we're concerned that she's not careful, and when she's saying testimony, she's not really being accurate, and therefore she cannot be believed. Yudaima, Loyalam ain't in a menace, she's never to be believed. Elam came boss the boycha begar kruin. Unless she comes crying and a garments torn. Amalai achazu vachazu tanasei, it makes no difference and should be believed under both circumstances. The Pais can point out that when we're learning now that the woman is believed, she's believed, all women are believed. Even if the woman is not necessarily a religious person, where normally we have concerns about that, if we should trust the person to be an aid, if they're not observant. Here, again, in the Kula, Mishmiguna Kilabur Rabbanan, that is included that she may be trusted. Ask the Gemara, Tana. First, the Mishnah said, Shalom Beino Lebeino, that there's peace between him and her. Shum the Ketpani Lemisni Tata Beino Lebeino. Tana Shalom Ba'olam, Shum the Kabay Lemisni Mecham Ba'olam. So, as the Mefarshim explained, the Gemara has a question here. From the Reisha of the Mishnah, from the beginning of the Mishnah, it seems that we only trust her when we know for a fact that there was shalom, that there was peace between the couple, and there's peace in the world. From the Sefer of the Mishnah, it seems just the opposite. Only when we know that there's problems between this couple, and only when we know that there's war in the world, do we not trust her. So says the Gemara, that under normal circumstances, we could assume that there's peace in the world, and we could assume that there's harmony in the world. Only when we know specifically the other way, that we know different. And the reason the Reisha said that there was Shalom Ba'olam and Shalom Beino Lebeino is only to remain consistent in terminology with the Sefer. Tana, Shalom Beino Lebeino, the Mishnah and the Reisha said that we know that there's peace. Only when we know there's no harmony in this marriage are we concerned. Otherwise, we could assume that there's fine. And the same thing, we could assume that the Shalom Ba'olam, Tana Shalom Ba'olam, we don't have to do any specific investigation, and the reason the Mishnah used this wording is only Mishum Nekoy Lebein Lemisni, the situation of Mecham Ba'olam. But under normal circumstances, couples are presumed to be living in harmony, and the world is presumed to be at peace.